We have been looking at different names of God. And I feel remiss to go through all of these again. I know that it doesn't seem like I probably have to do that, but I just want you to hopefully be encouraged by the great list we've looked at already. God is Elohim, the royal creator, the royal we. God is Adonai, he is Lord. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Yahweh, the great I Am, and that is his declared name that he gives. He is Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. He is Jehovah Nissi, God who is, the Lord is our banner. He is Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. And in all those names, you see the great power of God. You see not only his great superiority, but you also see in many of these his relation to his people. He is God Almighty, but he is also the God that heals. He is God Almighty, but he is also the God that provides. He is the great creator and the royal we, Elohim, but he is also the God who is our righteousness. And although he has placed pastors in churches, and other leaders and elders in churches, and other members in churches to help and to guide and to encourage, it is the Lord who is ultimately our shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. And that's the subject of this morning's message, Jehovah Rohi. Now, I've been told that it would be helpful if I would spell those names. And we've gone a long list, but I guess going forward I will spell that. Rohi is simply spelled R-O-H-I. Now, if you would just read it in English, you would think it's Rohi, but it's Rohi, Jehovah Rohi. And our text is found in Psalm 23. And if you turn there, we'll read this whole psalm and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, as we come to you this morning, we are thankful that we are under your wings. We are thankful for the great provisions you give us. We are thankful for the care and the love that you provide for us. And we look to you as Jehovah Rohi, that you are our shepherd. Lord, we need help. And we ask that you guide us and lead us all the days of our lives, and that we would always seek your presence and your face before we do anything, that we would depend on your wisdom and your guidance to lead us in our lives. I pray, Lord, for our church. I pray you bless our church to grow in love and unity, to grow in the knowledge of you, to grow in understanding of your word and in understanding of your character and your nature. Help us to grow spiritually through your word. Sanctify us, set us apart from this world, and may we be fit for your service. We pray, Lord, that you would add to this church if it pleases you. And as you seek your will, we pray that you would add to this body. And Lord, we pray for this church that we would be a lighthouse, that would go forth and to share the gospel and carry out your great commission. We pray for our country, Lord. Lord, not only are you Jehovah Rohi, but you are also Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord that heals. Our country needs healed, Lord. And we pray that you heal the hearts of the people of this country. No more hatred. No more finger pointing. No more blaming. But Lord, unity and love. We pray this for our nation. And we pray that our nation turn away from the evil which it seeks and turn to your face and to your word that you may guide us as a nation. Lord, I pray for Brother John and his father. Lord, I pray that you be with his father. Pray that he would get to come home soon. I pray for Sister Tina as she's preparing for surgery. That you would be, Lord, with the surgeons and be with her, that everything would be a success. And Lord, I pray for the many that are traveling. And Lord, I just ask that your blessings on our time together and on each and every one of these men and women and children here today, that you would bless them today, that we would draw near unto you, and that you truly would be our shepherd to guide us throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. No matter how great a pastor may be, there is one greater always. And that is the Lord is the great pastor. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he is the one who guides us in our lives. Now, I want to first, as we look through the different characteristics of Psalm 23 and of this title of God, which is Jehovah Rohi, I want to first look at the relationship of God to his people as shepherd. And if you will, keep your place here, but there's a great passage of Scripture that obviously God was David's shepherd. God led David. God was his great pastor. But also, we see the ultimate fulfillment of this in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do each and every one of these names of God. I want to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, as we look at this great relationship we have with Christ. John chapter 10, I call your attention to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. First real piece of knowledge that we should grasp when it comes to the Lord as our shepherd is we must understand that Jesus himself is the good shepherd, and we can have a specific, intentional relationship with him where he acts as the great shepherd of the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and know my him. The relationship here is this, that Jesus Christ knows each one of his people. I don't know if this offends you or not. I hope that it doesn't. But if it does, I'm sorry. If you belong to Christ Jesus, you are a sheep. We are sheep. But you know the blessing of that is that he knows every one of his sheep. He knows us. And not only does he know us, but the flip side of that is true as well. He says, I know them, and guess what? I am known of them, which means what? I know them, and we know him. We have a relationship one with another. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for who? The sheep. The greatest pastoral work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very fact that he laid down his life for his sheep, to give them everlasting life, to give them a place with the Father. He laid down his life for his sheep. Verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He has other sheep. Now, this is a little bit of proof positive of something else I want to bring up. And this is not what the message is about, but I want food for thought. I want you to think about this. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Do you know what that means? He's talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says, hey, I have you Jewish people, those that believe upon me as Messiah, those that have trusted me, you are my sheep. I know you, you know me. But guess what? I've got others. And you know something about those others? They were not saved yet. And so here's where I'm going to get in, and this may be controversial to you, but I want you to understand this. Before I was saved, I was still a sheep. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this. Before you were saved, you were still a sheep. You were a what? Lost sheep. See, when Jesus talks in the Gospel of Matthew, he lays out, and again, this message is not about this, but he lays out that there are sheep and there are goats. I was never a goat, folks. I was a sheep. I was just a lost sheep. And guess what? He laid down his life for his sheep. He seeks out his sheep. He gathers his sheep. And he watches over his sheep. Now, if you don't believe me, one of the biggest points of contention of that, and that is hard understanding and hard teaching, but I want you to notice verse 25 here as we begin to move forward. Jesus answered them, or verse 24, the Jews came round about him and said, how long dost thou make us doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Hey, if you're the Messiah, just tell us. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now notice verse 26, because this might throw you for a loop. But ye believe not. Why did they not believe? Because ye are not of my sheep. Now, again, I'm going to do this very quickly and we're going to move on. And if you have questions, if you want to talk to me, that's fine. We can have a long discussion about this. But the people were not sheep. Listen, it's a misconception when people say, oh, they were not sheep because they didn't believe. That's not right. It's actually, they did not believe because they were not his sheep. You need to understand that. Christ Jesus seeks his sheep out and he saves his sheep. That is the relationship we have. He is the great pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of our souls. Jesus, the great shepherd, the great pastor. He knows us by name, and we know his voice, and we hear him, and we follow him. You know, well, I'll get to that in a moment. That is the relationship that we have with our great shepherd. But then I want to look at the actions that our shepherd takes for us. You know, if you have an idea of what a good pastor should be, you have some expectations. Well, we should have some expectations of who our great shepherd is as well. And guess what? He fulfills every one of those expectations. What is it that the great shepherd does? And we see this in the book of Psalms, and we see this in our text. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know what the Lord does? He's Jehovah Jireh. He provides. As a great shepherd for us, He provides. I shall not want means, other translations translate that, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd and He gives me everything that I need. Do you believe that? There are sometimes we want things. There are sometimes our heart desires things. And the Lord may say no, and the Lord may hold back on us because He is wiser than us. But there is never a period of time where the Lord will not give us exactly what we need. The Lord is our shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides for me. He leadeth me beside still waters. He gives to us. There is a book called, I believe it's called I Shall Not Want. And it's a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. And in that book, the author talks about how delicate a sheep is. The animal. He actually had a flock of sheep and he chronicled his different relationships and his different experiences as he was literally a shepherd of a flock of sheep. And some of the things he could, it was uncanny to him how when he had that experience, that when he would look at God's word, he would see the exact same things that were portrayed in his actual sheep. And so he wrote the book, and I recommend that you read it. It's a shepherd's look at Psalm 23, and he talks about the different characteristics of an actual animal of the sheep. And do you know that the sheep are probably the most needy animal that there is? Tom Ballmer, who used to be a member of this church, he taught the adult Sunday school class for years. And I remember asking him one time, he was a farmer and he had a lot of livestock. I remember asking him if he ever kept sheep because I was interested in that. He said, you couldn't pay me to keep them. He talked about how they were just so much work in order to take care of them and to provide for them that he didn't want anything to do with them. We're a lot of work, folks. We have a lot of needs. We are delicate. We have a lot of complication. We have a lot of emotions. But the Lord knows exactly how to provide for us. And He does it perfectly. You know that sheep can't find food and water alone. They need the guidance of a shepherd. You know that a sheep is dumb enough to stand there as the wolves gather around. They need guidance and protection. It is the Lord that provides nourishment, peace, and rest for us. I shall not want means He provides and takes care of us fully. He is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is our shepherd. Verse 3. He restores my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord restores and guides us. We sing that great song, He leadeth me. The Lord leads us in every step that we take. We sang the song this morning, under His wings, protection and guidance, restoration. We find this in the Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom. There are times, folks, that we are so delicate and needy that the Lord picks us up and guides us and leads us to our destination. We wander, and He brings us back. We drift away, and He gathers us together. He guides us for His own glory, and we serve a God who watches over our every need and guides us every step of the way. Jehovah Rohi redirects our steps when we go astray. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now that's a blanket statement there. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if I walk through the very corridors of death itself, and I approach the point where my life will be taken from me or I will lose my life, when I'm walking through that very shallow hallway, it says I don't fear. Now there has to be a reason for that. There has to be a reason why we won't fear when we approach death or when anything that is greater than us seems to overtake us. There has to be a reason why we don't fear. And the reason is found in the next phrase. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Reading that book, it was amazing how fearful and timid sheep will be, but if the shepherd is present, they are at peace. And that's the same for us, folks. We can be fearful, we can be timid, we can be even facing the very brink of death. But if we are fully aware that the shepherd is with us, we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to fear. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The rod defends against the enemy. The staff guides and rescues. Even in dark valleys, we are not alone. And Jesus gave His very life to protect us from sin and death, and gives us everlasting life. Those are the actions of the shepherd. We see the relationship of the shepherd. We see the actions of the shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. And last, I want to look at the hope. Verse 5 and 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have a great hope, folks. The greatest hope we have is not in our church, although our church can bring us hope and enjoyment and satisfaction and comfort. The greatest hope that we have is not in our pastor, and I can promise you that. But the greatest hope we have is in our true bishop of our souls, our great shepherd, our great pastor, Jesus Christ, who watches over the sheep, that gave His life for the sheep, that guides the sheep, that protects the sheep. He also gives us hope that when we do walk to the end of the valley of the shadow of death, we come out the other side in His presence, worshiping Him, adoring Him, and serving Him for eternity. We will dwell safely in the shepherd's house forever. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read this passage and we'll close down. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the characteristics of a pastor in a church. Okay, now we're looking at the great pastor, and we'll see that here in a moment. Look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is the message that we are to be given. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know what verse 2 means? I'll just tell you real quick. It's important to talk about this as we're right here in this verse. That means if you're ever looking for a pastor again, and I hope that's not in the next couple months or anything, but if you're looking for a pastor, you need to find someone that's not going to talk about politics, that's not going to talk about their opinions, that's not going to talk about their power, that's not going to talk about anything irrelevant. You know what you need the pastor to do? To feed the flock of God, the Word of God. That's what you need. The pastor must open the Word of God and feed the flock. And then when you're feeding the flock, it says there's two restrictions there. You don't want that pastor doing it by constraint. Do you know what that means? That means you shouldn't have to put a collar around my neck and pull me up here because I don't really feel like doing it. That means you shouldn't be like, listen, I know you don't feel like it, but you're going to go up there because it's your duty and your responsibility. You don't want a pastor that feels obligated to share the Word of God. Not out of constraint, but willingly, wanting to. But also, what else? Not for filthy lucre. It is the responsibility of a church to provide and to pay their pastor a fair wage. Now, that's hard for me to talk about, but that's the truth that the Bible teaches. But listen, you should want a pastor and have a pastor that would do it for free. Now, don't take him up on that. Don't make a pastor do that. Don't be that way. That's wrong. But that's the man you're looking for. One that would be willing to stand up there and do it even if he didn't get paid a dime. Not by constraint, not for money, but to feed the flock of God. Verse 3, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You know what that means? He's not power hungry. Listen, I'm not worried about the way we do things. I know Kenny really wasn't worried about that either. Do you know what I am concerned about? I'm concerned that our people hear the Word and grow in the Word and love one another. That's what my concern is. You can paint these walls purple if you want. I don't care. Probably not purple. But still, you can do whatever you want. You can have... Listen, the pastor should not be lording over and power and showing ultimate authority over the people. That's not how a church works. The church is the people's church. I am just here, and the pastor is just here, to be a under-shepherd to feed the flock. But then, here's what I wanted to call your attention to, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd... Who do you think the chief shepherd is, folks? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hey, when the chief shepherd comes, we will be with him forever and ever in his presence, serving him. So the relationship we have, the shepherd knows us by name. He reaches out to us. He gets us and he brings the lost sheep into his fold. That's the relationship we have, and he watches over us. And the actions that he does for us is he provides for us. He restores and guides us. He protects us. And then we have a great hope that we will be in His presence forever. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. Listen, I close by saying this. And I feel like I've had to talk about these things a lot. I know it'll eventually get to where the newness wears away and I won't talk about these things, but as your pastor, I will fail you from time to time. As your pastor, your expectations may be here, and I might end up being right here. And I understand that. I want to fulfill everyone's expectations, but I also know I'm human. And I also know my sinful nature, too. I will strive by the power of God and by prayer to be the best pastor I can for this church. But I will make mistakes, and I will fail. So don't look to me for the ultimate example. Don't look to me to fulfill all your expectations. All you need to do is understand that I am an under-shepherd, and you just need to look past me and look at the great chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who I promise you, though I fail you, He never will. Though I may not be there, He always will. And though I may not have the right thing to say, His word will always be a comfort to His people. May God add His blessings to this message. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd.